Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. I am literally so happy right now reading God's Word with you, and I hope that the joy of the Lord is filling your heart as well as we join together in our shared commitment that we want to love the Word of God. Lord, we want to be teachable. We want to recognize your hand and your ways. We want to know that you answer the prayers of the people. We want to be the one out of the 10 who returns in gratitude. We want to hear your voice today. Help us to see prayer as a way to commune with you, move our hearts, and meet with us. Today is Missions Monday, so I do want to highlight just for a second our ministry partner, Empower Ministries. This is a local ministry that tries to help break the cycle of poverty through education and health services. There are many ways to get involved with Empower, from taking lunches to the students in the GED classes. Also, they need tutors all during the year. So if you have questions or desires to get plugged into Empower Ministries, let me know or Drew Smith know, and we can help you get connected. In the scriptures today, we're in Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 14. This is the story about the golden calf. What a good day for us to start a recap of the Ten Commandments. Can you recite the Ten Commandments? Is that even necessary? I would argue that it's a good thing to know. Do you know the seven dwarfs? Okay, maybe not the seven dwarfs, but do you know the colors of the rainbow or the planets in the solar system or maybe the seven continents? I don't know. I think it's important for us also to know the Ten Commandments. I do have an easy memory device for you if you haven't learned them in the past, but today's passage is talking about commandment number two. You shall not make for yourselves an idol. And as I read this passage the first time, I kept thinking, why do we slip into idolatry so easily? For me, it's because I forget. I forget the Lord's faithfulness. I think that I have to do it all on my own. And so I'm just praying right now that the Lord would help me remember who He is. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them, and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, it was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Wow, I would love to take some time to comment on the fact that Moses is here kind of wrestling with God in prayer, but I can't do that today. Instead, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the second commandment, or the second word, as Jen Wilkin calls it. I'm basically just going to read some of her awesome book, 10 Words to Live By, when it comes to the second word, undiminished worship. Now, I'm going to read for about 2 minutes, so stay with me. It's worth it. Moses is called to the top of Sinai by God. We just read this. But when his time there grows lengthy, the people grow restless, waiting for his return. Supposing their leader has been swallowed by Sinai's thunder and smoke, they demand that Aaron make them gods to go before them. Aaron obliges by collecting the gold jewelry they have presumably just lifted from the Egyptians, gold that God intended to be used in constructing the tabernacle and embarking on a little sculpting project. Interestingly, Aaron seems to conceive of the golden calf as an image of Yahweh. So he's trying to connect the dots here. He's like, yeah, this image is of the God who did bring you out of Egypt, not as a lesser or different deity. This is evident in the way he describes and executes the feast day. Israel feasts and sacrifices before the image purported to be the one true God. But the calf can't do that. The image lies about who God truly is. Think about the enormity of the lie the golden calf tells. It is small, but God is immense. I'm going to read these really slowly just so that you can meditate on them. It is inanimate, but God is spirit. It is location bound, but God is everywhere, fully present. Thank you, Father. It is created, but God is uncreated. It is new, but God is eternal. It is impotent, but God is omnipotent. In other words, it has no power, but God has all power. It is destructible, but God is indestructible. It is of minor value, but God is of infinite value. It is blind and deaf and mute, but God sees, hears, and speaks. This image is no Yahweh. This is a lie, but it's a particularly pernicious kind of lie. Or perhaps it is the most common kind of all. Have you ever wondered why Aaron chooses the image of a calf instead of some other animal, like a bird or a lion? Remember that Israel is in the in-between space, fresh from Egypt and headed to Canaan. One of the principal deities of Egypt was the bull god Apis, and the supreme head of the Canaanite pantheon was the bull god El. Bull worship was all the rage in the region. But it is a knobby-kneed calf, not a raging bull that Aaron manufactures. When Aaron conceives of Yahweh in his own imaging, he produces a non-threatening, approachable version of the principal gods of the surrounding pagans. And so do we. Anytime we take the attributes of the gods the world around us worships and apply them to God and make him more palatable and less threatening, more accommodating and less thunderous, we produce a graven image. We whittle down his transcendence. We paint over his sovereignty. We chisel away his omnipotence until he is a pet-like version of a terrible pagan god we would never be so foolish to bow down to. I wish I could read you more, and if you'll text me, I can send you this chapter or a link to buy it on Amazon. It's called 10 Words to Live By. At the end of the chapter, she asked this question: which attribute of God are you most tempted to emphasize, and which are you most tempted to diminish? What motive can you discern behind those temptations? Now let's move on over to the Psalms. Today we're in Psalm 23, and if you were in worship, I think it was on the 19th, if I recall correctly, Wayne said that he would give us $200 if we memorized the Psalm. Okay, I'm joking. He did not say that. What he said was, would we be more motivated to memorize Psalm 23 if we were to receive $200? And so we just pray, Lord, give us the motivation to know and meditate and come to your word because we believe it is worth it. This is a Psalm of David. It is such a reminder that the Lord is our shepherd and we don't have to lack anything. The version that I've memorized says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. And then as my dear friend Jan has taught me, I pray, thanking the Lord that he has provided everything I need, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, spiritually, and socially. Not in some kind of health and wealth gospel way, but in the trusting that God provides, even in the midst of the Psalm 22s, the times of suffering, where we do not know how God is going to work it all out, but we can trust him when he leads beside the quiet waters and even in the darkest valley. I will pray this psalm as we close together today. Thank you for listening along. I'm so grateful for you. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, spiritually, and socially. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters today that you would help them to make right decisions that honor you. And when the evil one tempts them to despair or to do something that breaks your commandments, Lord, would you stop them in their tracks? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Lord, you know we fear. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to trust in you. When fear rises within us, may our constant devotion to you point us to who you are. And when we're not constant in our devotion, remind us that you're always constant, that you have not hidden your face from us. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And this is our prayer, Lord, that we would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.